Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It is good to have you in the house of the Lord on this day that he has given us, this bright, crisp, snowishy day. And happy New Year, by the way, on this first Sunday of Advent. Note that we are changing service settings today, Divine Service Setting 4, so things will sound a little bit differently, look a little bit different as well as we go through. Note to highlight our Advent midweek services begin this Wednesday. The morning service, 10:30, and the evening service will have the same subject matter in both. Different services, of course, evening prayer at night, the communion service in the morning. So that'll be the three Wednesdays coming up. It's printed there in the bulletin for you. Note also the opportunity to contribute to the fire relief through Thrivent for matching funds. That is there as well. Ladies' luncheon tomorrow, 11:30, Toffanelli's. 20-something folks have signed up already, ladies, so if you'd like to join in, Terry will, I think she'll make a note of that as well. Or just show up, 11:30, Toffanelli's. As our Lord Christ has hidden his glory in the flesh of Jesus of Nazareth, so also the Christ candle that was on the mantle for the installation has been hidden. If you might know where it went after the installation, when things were put away, please let Gay know where it might have gotten away to. Service is before you. Let's join in the opening hymn. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.' This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. Wait just a minute. I thought this was Advent, not Lent. What's with Palm Sunday today? Shouldn't we be headed to the manger in Bethlehem instead of Jerusalem? Oh, but we are. We can't understand the reason for the season in the manger if we don't stop at Golgotha. We know that our Lord is drawing near to his return on the last day. The signs are all around us. This is why we remember his drawing near to Bethlehem in the flesh. And we also recall his drawing near to Jerusalem to complete the work of salvation. The evangelists were masterful writers. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they crafted the Gospels into a form of living literature that has so many connections and echoes and allusions to other parts of God's Word that it takes a lifetime to begin to see them all. St. Luke writes today, as he was drawing near, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." It's almost a mirror image of the word spoken outside of Bethlehem. "There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." Peace in heaven and peace on earth. You can't have one without the other. And the focus and the reason for both of those proclamations is God in the flesh, Jesus, the Christ, the God-man who took on flesh for you and for your salvation. So why do men and angels proclaim peace? "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, the one who comes from the Lord, and only the one who comes from the Lord is able to bring peace, both in heaven and upon earth." And this isn't just some random dude either. It is the King, the Lord God Himself made man, the Messiah sent from heaven to draw all people into the kingdom of God in His being lifted up. Even Pilate recognizes this when he affixes to Jesus' cross that sign which reads, "The King of the Jews." So St. Luke wants you today to remember Bethlehem when Jesus comes into Jerusalem. St. Luke wants you to remember that the incarnation of Jesus, the taking on of your flesh for you and for your salvation, is intimately and inextricably linked to the atonement won for you by Jesus. Because in the taking on of your flesh, Jesus joins heaven and earth together. And in His crucifixion, all the barriers between earth and heaven are torn asunder. In the outpouring of His blood that covers your sin, the Son of God made flesh washes you, and He presents you to His Father spotless and clean and whole. Of course, that's all well and good for those who confess that kind of relationship with your Lord, recognizing and trusting that it is only through the blood of the crucified Christ, which cleanses you, that you can have this access to your Father. Too often, though, you don't confess that Jerusalem and the cross on rocky Golgotha is Jesus' destiny, because you'd rather see baby Jesus in the manger, because He's cute, He's adorable, He's accessible. Dead, naked Jesus hanging on His cross just bothers you. It's easy to love 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus in the manger, to put Him in the trough and focus on the cute factor, that adorable cooing little infant, because it leads to nice Jesus, you know, teacher Jesus, healer Jesus, inclusive Jesus, all those Jesuses that spring from that quiet, inoffensive baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. But if you notice, St. Luke doesn't dwell there. And neither do the other gospel writers. They are inexorably driven, just as Jesus is, to that Friday outside of Jerusalem, drawn near, almost pulled into the city for that final confrontation between good and evil, between life and death. And so you too must realize that your destiny lies on that rocky hill outside the city walls. The future of all of creation hangs in the balance in Jesus drawing near to Jerusalem. And so he says to his disciples, go into the village in front of you. You will find a colt tied on which no one has ever yet sat. And then just days later, St. Luke tells us that after Jesus died, Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body down, wrapped it in a linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. There's a sense that these two things have been set aside for the king, sanctified, if you will, for use by the conqueror as he rides into battle and then rests from his victory. So you see, this coming into Jerusalem, this Holy Week event, it's no moralistic tale. This is no nice little Bible story with a coloring sheet and a happy ending. This is the cosmic battle between life and death. This is God Almighty staring into the black void of death and diving in without fear. This is the King of the universe reaching out, grabbing evil around the throat, and casting it into outer darkness. This is Armageddon. This is the final battle. This is the last day, all wrapped up into that one blood-curdling, triumphant shout, "It is finished!" And all of creation reacts to that cry. The earth itself shudders. The skies go dark in mourning. Graves give up their dead. And this is where we're going when we turn the page on a new church year. We're drawing near to the celebration of Christ's victory for you. A celebration of Christ Jesus who gave his life that you may live and rose from the dead to show you the way to eternal life. So there really is no better way to begin the Advent journey to Bethlehem and the celebration of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension for you than to join those pilgrims lining the streets of Jerusalem and those angels standing before the shepherds and singing the great hymn that sprang from their lips. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Yes, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and he comes to you again today. The King comes, righteous and having salvation. The King comes to you in his crucified and risen flesh and blood. He comes here in his supper that you may receive his peace, the peace of heaven and earth. And not in some wishful, maybe kind of way. No, it is a declaration. It is a proclamation of a present reality. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Your King comes to you, righteous and having salvation. He comes to you to grant you a life beyond comprehension, a healing to perfection, a life eternal in the presence for all who are made new in his death and in his life. So it's with joy that this song springs from the same lips that touch his body and blood. Blessed is he, blessed is he. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.